Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Tasmanian Devin here, and I am so stoked for today. When I get to talk to you about how you can help grow your business, talking stories about how we are growing within our business with the Art of Construction Tribe. So the AOC Global Phone talking the theme of collaboration today. So it's all about, I'm such a relationship guy, and we built a relationship with a company called PGT that we're going to go into. So PGT stands for Pan Gulf Tech. So your location on the globe no longer matters, right? Especially with the combination of technology advances and circumstances with this crazy pandemic have combined to create an environment that requires efficient project communication and utilization of the most cost-effective resources. So a few years ago, we embarked on this journey to set up an offshore partner assisting with our architectural services. And Tribe, it simply started as I had to find a better way to do windows and doors and openings. And I'm looking at it to say, I have so many great architect partnerships, but I've learned over the years of that data drop chasm, when you're passing that information around, it's really challenging to move that to the finish line to really execute the architect's vision, which has been one of my goals as owning my window and door company in Colorado for many years. So I'm so stoked that we chose the partner of Pan Gulf Technologies, and we're going to have them step up to the mic today. And I'm also super pumped to be bringing in Matt McMullen, who is our AOC Executive Director. And he's been my co-host on many shows as we've been leading up to this. And you can go back and see many shows where we've been teeing this up to say, today we're really going to get in and talk the story. And Matt, what's your perspective for today's fireside chat?
Hey, Devin, thanks for inviting me to join you. Really looking forward to this one, talking with Sasheen and Animesh of Pan Gulf Tech. But, you know, it kind of goes back to what you and I talked about on show 83. And I introduced a concept. It was a book called Lean Thinking. And it dealt with the concept of MUDA, which is just removing sort of the mud and the friction from a process. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about compiling a dream team for your project, you know, based on specific project technical expertise so that there's no wasted resources, no wasted effort, and that really you're investing into people and their knowledge. And all of a sudden, you know, physical location and actual capital resources don't make a difference anymore. It's all about the folks and communication.
Awesome. So Matt, can you set the stage for the global audience about how we partnered with Pan Gulf Technologies?
Yeah, so it's interesting. You know, this will resonate with a lot of our architectural and general contractor listening audience. Is I imagine you probably receive many emails over the course of a week of folks offshoring talking about how they'd love to partner with you, create visualization, modeling, outsource drafting, things like that. Well, I got an email from Sasheen with Pan Gulf Tech, and it was different than all the others that I received from, like, you know, China, Romania, India, Brazil. It was very professional, and it really caught my eye. And at the time, I was at Able Design Group, running their architectural practice for their Denver office. And Sasheen was going to be in town and wanted to know if we would meet, if we could meet, which we did. And so that is really the kernel of where this entire relationship started.
All right. So what are we talking about today, Tribe? So the main message that I want to convey is really, really simple. We've had a lot of conversation that breaks down to global AEC team collaboration. So architectural, engineering, and construction. How do you globally build a team? Well, there's a lot of ways you can build the team, but you better have good communication and collaboration. And that's what I'm excited to hear Matt and Animesh, who are working regularly together on how they're building that team. And so the other thing is, how is this going to benefit or grow your business? And so building from other shows like 155 titled The Digital Revolution of Building Informational Modeling. So BIM, building informational modeling, is a word that I've learned as a visionary trying to understand all these different tools and business practices. It's got spun a lot of different directions. So I want to talk about how you can integrate an offshore team into your art of construction business model. So those are the main focuses that I want to put out there for today. So Matt, what do you say? Should we go on and get to know Sachin and Animesh and what PGT and the story is all unfolded here today?
Let's go on an international journey.
All right, let's get on the plane and go India back and forth here and there everywhere. The global tribe is humming today, baby. Lock and load. Sachin, what's your favorite beverage?
I'd say black coffee.
Black coffee, all right. And the time difference, right? So sometimes we're having coffee and you're having another beverage here and there everywhere, right?
Well, my work times are such that I end up having more coffee probably than all four of us in the call here.
What's the favorite place you've traveled?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'd have to say it would be Norway. I think it is a very good blend of free landscape, very good terrain. So if you're a trekking fan, Norway is the place to be.
Awesome. Give us one story from your trip to Norway.
Oh, I mean, if I were to just select one, it would be a trek that I did in a place called Trolltunga. I hope I'm pronouncing it right, because I'm just trying to say the way the Norwegians would say that. It's supposed to be among the top 10 most difficult treks in the world. To cut a long story short, you're traveling about 28 kilometers. You need to climb a gradient of close to about, I'd say, roughly about 1 mile. And you're looking at consuming anywhere between 25 to 30,000 calories. And I did that in a time span of 12 hours. So that was a very interesting experience for me. And, you know, you go through snow, hail, freezing temperatures, a little bit of sunshine if you're lucky, and you survive. I think that's the most important part of it.
Awesome. Well, what is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're going to talk about breaking down? We passionately call the art of construction today.
Well, that's fairly interesting too. And, you know, I just actually picked this up because of the pandemic, and I'd say it's learning poker. So I'm trying to get better at poker, but, you know, it's a very vast subject. So I'm just trying. Let's put it that way.
Awesome. Well, cool. We got to know a little bit about Sachin Jain, who is going to tell us his story and what led him to be the Senior Vice President and Head of Global Sales and Marketing with Pan Golf Technologies. So, Animesh, what's your favorite beverage?
Well, my favorite beverage is Sol Kadhi. It's kind of a cooler and non-alcoholic drink served in the western part of India. It goes really well after a spicy meal. Made with a very special fruit called kokum and plus coconut milk. And the beauty about it is it has an amazing distinct taste, which you would not ever forget if you ever had it.
Well, I want to try that one. I've never had that. So we'll have to someday get over to India and vice versa and try each other's favorite beverage. Mine is whatever the next bourbon I haven't had. So that's the, we all have different things, and it's fun to get to know outside of the silos that we spend a lot of time in. And what, tell us the favorite place you've traveled.
Rajasthan is a bordering state in India. It's the name suggests it's the place for kings. And it has fantastic, amazing castles, let's say, of forts in that region, and amazing hospitable people, are not very densely populated. And since I'm a solo biker, I have been there thrice. It's like 500 miles from where I stay.
Awesome. And one story from your travels there.
I think every day there, because like I said, I'm a solo biker, so you can imagine traveling to Rajasthan and speaking less than 20 words a day, because it's that, you can really have a very serene and peaceful living up there.
Outstanding. So, yeah. So we got to know a little bit about Animesh, who is the general manager for BIM and VDC with PanGelf Technologies.
So, Sasheen, we're going to turn the spotlight on you. So my understanding, Animesh is really sort of representing more of the engineering side and more of the BIM side. And Sasheen, you're really focused on the marketing and business side. How did you end up working at PanGelf Tech and getting involved with that organization?
Right, Matt. I think, I had about 12 or 13 years of experience working in engineering services companies prior to PanGelf. And what was very interesting about the opportunity here was really to be able to create a one-stop AEC solution. And when I say that, what I essentially mean is to be able to structure our business and provide a direction so that we could really organize ourselves to be a one-stop architecture and engineering service provider. And you know, by that, what we mean is today we are structured in a manner where we are able to probably address and work with all different stakeholders in the construction fraternity, except probably owners outside India. And you know, whatever little work we do with owners is predominantly in India. But I think that was a very unique opportunity. And you know, when you look back now, 2 years later, we've essentially started 3 new business units, and we are well and truly on our way to accomplish that objective. So I'd say that was, the biggest kick in terms of looking at this opportunity.
You know, Sasheen, we covered this a little bit in our intro, but like I mentioned, I originally received that email from you, but then when we met in person, the professionality of PanGelf Tech, I think, is what really caught my eye. You guys had a presentation where you showed sort of your QA/QC process for drafting and visualization, and that really caught my eye right off the bat. It was way better than the QA/QC process we had in place within our own firm.
Correct. I think what happens, Matt, is if you look at the background, you know, PanGelf brings in a lot of background working with contractors, fabricators, rebar erectors, rebar placers. And as you and Devon both would know, I think the cost to an error in any one of those drawings or deliverables that we send out is humongous. And when we look at the cost, which involves direct material cost or the labor rates in terms of getting the work done on the site. So we really didn't have a choice in terms of not necessarily building in a robust QA/QC mechanism. And a lot to do is with how we set up our teams. It can be a very long discussion in terms of how are we organizing ourselves. But in essence, what is very important for us is we're growing in teams of 10 to 12 people. And essentially, we are a 500 plus people company. But if you really think about it, it's small teams of 10 to 12 people. And when we scale in that matrix, what happens then is it becomes very easy to really assign responsibilities to each team. And you know, you essentially have one leader that can take ownership of quality and productivity that comes out of that team. And that then essentially you drive it as if your life really depends on the performance of that 10 to 12 people. And I think we have that sort of culture in PanGelf. And you know, that's, in my opinion, that's a very important attribute for the business that we are in.
Definitely. And you keyed in on some key things. It doesn't matter how great the tool, or like I like to say sometimes, the shiny object is, if you're not understanding it. And that's what I loved when I first heard about you guys. You hear about the 500 people, which is great that they have this big backbone, but they build it down into these teams that we all work differently, right? If all 500 people had to do it one way, it's really hard, because when you get down, and I hope we can get into the weeds a little bit on that today, when we talk about how Matt is working with his PanGelf Tech team within the Art of Construction, how do you structure those to make them work for local business sectors, but you're pulling from that global Art of Construction megaphone net. And so Animesh, I'm so excited to have experts that can talk BIM into Studio AOC, because I can't talk expertise, because I get to go to really cool places like Digital Built Week and others, and I have experts like you that are in the weeds of this stuff. But I want to really talk about how, you know, personally, I don't use these architecture tools day in and day out. And I've seen a lot of your great stuff on LinkedIn about BIM, and I'm all about simplifying BIM, which in fact you have an article titled Simplifying BIM. And I loved how you teed that up to say, you know, once in a while, my father comments, I still don't understand exactly what you do. And I think that's a big misconception of what is this whole AEC BIM stuff. Is that something that I should have on a line item to where I think a lot of people, a lot of builders, a lot of people in the art of construction just say, how can I make that line item go away? And I think you're missing something really key if you want to talk about beginning with the end in mind. So what motivates you to write about these philosophies on LinkedIn, Animesh?
Great. I would simply say that, you know, BIM is never an end deliverable. The end deliverable is actually construction. BIM is the ways and means to maybe do it efficiently and to produce things which will again constitute and make the building, which you will use to make the building. So what typically the industry is trying to do is they're trying to change construction and trying to fit it into BIM. You know, that's where the pain area is, because this is a very big and, you know, historic industry, which has been functioning in a certain way for a very long time. And if we expect change construction overnight and try to twist it and try to fit it inside BIM, it's not going to happen that easy. We have to look at it the other way. We have to take BIM and fit it and wrap it around construction and try to simplify, because every construction, every project is different. You know, the requirements, the timeline, the consultants, clients, designers, every project is different. So how do we make BIM in a way that it is as useful and as lean and as tailored as possible each project and each client? And that's where I see a big gap in what we preach, what we deliver, and what is actually usable to construct that building. That's what inspires me to write and, you know, kind of simplify.
I think those are all good points, Animesh. You know, I can talk a little bit about my, you know, my experience in the studio with PGT's folks in the AOC studio later. But, you know, Sasheen, maybe you can talk a little bit. You started to talk about it earlier. Can you talk a little bit about PGT's business philosophy as a whole? So not just BIM, which, you know, Animesh was starting to get into, but really, how do you organize your teams? How do you work and operate? And how do you find the right people, either amidst those 500 people in your company or through recruiting outside, to get this really clean mesh, which I've experienced when in the partnership between AOC and PGT in that studio?
Right. I think, Matt, you know, while our business, so to say, is providing architecture and engineering services to different stakeholders, but if you really go one level deeper, you know, our core business philosophy, and, you know, people like Animesh, myself, and a few others as managers are constantly trying to simplify this. And the very clear answer to what we really do is we are in the business of establishing, constructing, and managing project-specific teams, which can work as an extension of our customers in-house team. And I think when you look at it that way, the way you want to go about your processes, the way you want to address recruitment, the way you want to address setting up your RFI templates, your scope gathering sheets, a lot of that change. And I think that is a clarity we've brought in Pangulf for about 5-6 years ago. And that has really helped us to go on and even define KPIs for everybody within the team. I mean, you know, I touched upon this a little bit earlier. And, you know, again, I would like to iterate. You know, one of the things that has worked very well for us is to be able to have the ability to segregate our 500 or so people into clusters of 10 to 12. And we've selected these people in a manner that one can function as a de facto lead and can take ownership of quality and productivity. And, you know, you would have people then who bring in the domain, the architecture, or the engineering capability along with software proficiency. So it's a good mix of resources that will help translate customer requirements into tactical things that need to be done on the software, and do that efficiently and manage the communication in a manner that we are wary about the amount of time our clients have to spend in communicating and reviewing our work. I think this is really a very important aspect for us internally, and we work and review that quite a lot, because you know that would automatically really define the efficiency and the price advantages, if any, that this offshore team has to offer. And again, you know, one of the other things that we've really done is to be able to distinguish between communication and collaboration. And you know, I think I'd be, you know, very proud to say that we would be among the top Indian company in this business who spends a significant amount on our IT framework, IT processes, to be able to have the best collaboration tools to make this working from distance a pleasant experience. You know, let me just say that distance really creates barriers. There are no two ways about it. But I think if you accept that, then you know, it becomes a lot easier for you to put processes together to try to overcome those.
Yeah, and I think Sasheen, you bring up some great points there, and this is kind of like the shamelessly throwing the shout outs to my studio team is Shubham, who is our team leader, has been absolutely great at every single thing that you just mentioned. He really has stepped up and has really taken ownership of these projects, including being on calls with those clients and really taking a personal interest in them. And then you know, Bimson, Nitin, Shreya, and Sona Lee, who just joined our team recently, are all great team players. And then we've got Krunal, who comes in as really our Inscape expert. And so I think, as you mentioned, Sasheen, I think you guys have done a great job of really taking personalities that mesh well with Art of Construction and putting that team together.
So I just want to pause there from and reflect on a couple of things. So the stage is set. So we got to know who PGT is and its leadership. And so the part I just want to pause and reflect on is say what Matt just talked about is I want to take a moment and give a shout out to my team. Sasheen, I hope you really smiled when you heard that from one of your customers organically saying, here's his team within the team of the Art of Construction. And so that's what we wanted to showcase. And so I want to go down that path and talk through that. So Matt, anything you'd add before we talk through how this partnership has evolved and help other members of the Art of Construction tribe to really do this in their Art of Construction, which is what this whole global megaphone is all about?
Yeah, you know, just a couple of things I wanted to say, Devin, to further expand on that. I mean, I think part of it lies with the client too, to just say, hey, you know what? I really get to interface with these folks and get to care about them as people and as members of the team. And so two examples. One, a thing called Diwali, which is the Festival of Light in India. I knew absolutely nothing about it. And the team shared pictures of that in the celebration and brought me into their homes, in essence, through these pictures and who they were celebrating that festival with. And it really meant a lot to me and really strengthened the power of the team. And then most recently, Christmas, one of the things that we did is Pangolf Tech apparently has a Secret Santa program. And so I challenged everybody to come on and show me what they got from their Secret Santa. And that was an absolute blast, you know. And so, I just wanted to say that is that it's not just this sort of outsourcing service. It's really this sort of full personal relationship that's created, just like as if these folks were in your studio within your office here in the United States.
Yeah. So I love how, Sasheen, you were real about it. Say there's no way to fake it to say when I'm in India and you're in Colorado, that there's not a barrier. And so you have to accept those barriers. And that's what this podcast is all about, is breaking. When we talk about breaking down the silos, that's what we're talking about here. To say, I love Matt's comment that he says to every customer, and he always waits for the right time. And I sit back, and whenever he makes this comment is the mic drop moment. Are you ready for the comment? So customer, I've never had a project go perfect, but maybe you're the one. And that was a little Tasmanian Devin ad, because that's not how Matt says it. But the point of that whole thing is to say, hit the shit head on, tribe. Like, go hit the stuff that's going to be the problem first. Don't sidestep all the problems until everything's going to be a bed of roses and then have the problems later. So when we talk about begin with the end in mind, that's what we mean. So Sachin, tell us about how did your team originally link up with Matt?
Well, that's a fairly interesting tale. And I think Matt touched upon that a little bit. So it was probably about a couple of years ago, part of my sales team studied the business of Able Design, trying to understand what they did. And, what we saw was fairly interesting in terms of the type of work and the size of the firm. And, I wrote to Matt requesting him for a face-to-face meeting. And, what I was essentially not trying to do is sell capacity at lower costs. That's probably a potential advantage that one gets if we are able to do a lot of things better together earlier. And I think the whole point really was to be able to build a team that can work as a tag team with our clients and define joint ownerships between the two teams who then work towards the success of the project. I think if you're able to have business models, processes, your templates that enable you to do that, I think that's the sort of clients we are after at Pangulf. And I think from whatever I understood based on my discussions with Matt, it was very evident that if you look at this business from two perspectives, the creative and the project management perspective, and then whatever is required to complete the project through its end, including all the documentations, there was a very clear way in which we at Pangulf could set up a team that could start working with Matt anywhere from schematic stage onwards, all the way through to your CD sets. And when you're able to establish that workflow and have ownership in a project which is jointly shared, I think that's the best way to do business. And this has been our philosophy with whomever we intend to work. And I think that really clicked very well in the first meeting that we had with Matt. And so much so that, even after Matt left Able Design, here we are at the AOC and trying to do business and grow this multi-regional cross-cultural team together to enjoy some project work together.
Awesome. So when I started the Art of Construction in 2014, people didn't quite get why or what Devin was doing. And to be honest, a lot of times I didn't either. But what I wanted to do was to not just change construction, but leapfrog the status quo. And to do that, you had to align. And you talk about communication and collaboration. Those two words are really easy to say. They're really hard to do. And so for the first 5 years, my whole goal, when I talked about it from episode one or passionately talking about it recently on episode 200, the first 5 years was to build the tribe. And so when I have built a global tribe with amazing leaders like Sachin and Animesh, but you also have to have local leaders that you build that you trust. And those local leaders come from going back to, go listen to Matt's story with us as a customer, as an architect firm, and over time building this up to put this together. So when you do that, you have to build up these teams as the visionary owner of both Art of Construction globally and Mountain View Window and Door in Colorado in the US, taking those two things together and then getting people that the old cliche of get people that are smarter than you and get out of the way. Well, you all have to be smart together, but you have to trust to let that go. So what I'm really excited about is to ask the question to you, Sachin, is to say, I really don't know how this team came together, but I do know that I trust Matt as the AOC executive director to build up this team that he did the research. And so how have you organized Matt's PGT team? And has it been typical for how you typically organize your teams around the globe?
Let me say, for starters, it always helps if you have somebody like Matt, because he brings in a complete level of clarity in terms of defining the battery limits and to say what is it that can be done by him and his team, which is a fairly lean setup. And, you know, that's by design. And I believe he would always want it to be that way. And then it becomes fairly clear for us to define the responsibility, what we want the studio from India, which is really, you know, the Art of Construction India office, to execute on behalf of Matt. And when we started defining the vision and nailing down what we really want to accomplish as a team, it became very evident that we would need somebody at the helm of affairs who would have the ability to really translate the creative component of Matt's thinking into tangible 3D outputs, which could then become the base for further refinement, which would then allow Matt the ability to go to his clients and start getting subjective opinions on the design, and then in a way pave the way for the design development phase of the project. So, you know, once we knew that that would be a very crucial role, we selected somebody like Shubham, who is really the team lead for this engagement. What he is really doing is, in a nutshell, he is managing all the internal communication with the team. So he would be able to translate the vision or the concepts and the schemes that Matt would have into defining the tasks that the team need to really perform. So for instance, somebody like Sonali would then start getting those instructions and start executing those work more from an efficiency perspective. Shubham also then really works from the perspective of managing the utilization of the team. So we are constantly worried about how much work we have, what sort of work we have, and working closely with Matt to plan what will be the work that will come to us 2, 3, 4 weeks later. And that's simply because we don't want to really allow a lot of idle hours to creep into the system. So if there's an opportunity where we need to be waiting for some information, we want Matt to know that, hey, you know, we have a couple of days. Even if it is things like really developing some content, we are available to do that. One of the other things that really came along as we started working together was Enscape. And, you know, Matt was very bullish about how Enscape would be a tool that would really help his clients. And when we saw that as an opportunity, I think we brought in a specialist, Krunal, who is really an Enscape guru from our perspective, or at least that's what we would like to believe. And what he simply does is, you know, define again those ideas into Enscape model. So Krunal, with him coming along and with Nitin, whom we've also added in the team, what that has done is that have given us an added level of dimension. So again, you know, while we talk to Matt and try to get some forecasts about what are the projects that are coming in the near vicinity or what sort of workload he is anticipating, one of our thought process has always been, how do we build in a certain level of flexibility in the business model that would allow us to scale at very rapid paces? Because at the end of the day, I think flexibility is going to be the most important attribute any collaboration like this can offer. And I'm sure a lot of your customers already demand that from you. So we brought in Nitin with the main objective that if we reach a situation where we could scale the team further, then we have the opportunity to segregate the team into two smaller teams who can then work on multiple projects in parallel. And this essence really is the way we grow about and multiply our smaller teams and create a larger studio. And really, that's the way in which we work with most of our firms who wish to engage us on a dedicated studio model. Some things we've done differently for some of our customers. You know, one very interesting thing that comes to my mind is, you know, one of our clients wanted to hire some capability in area of energy modeling studies. And when we were planning the vision of how we develop the team for him, what came to my mind clearly was, well, if this is a consistent requirement that the client would have, we saw that it was an opportunity for hiring that capability inside PanGulf. You know, A, we could do that quicker. And, you know, obviously there was a cost difference of doing that when you look at doing it in the US versus trying to do it in India. So again, you know, if there are some very specific opportunities or capabilities that the client wishes to develop, I think this becomes an excellent opportunity for us to work together and grow not only in number, but also in terms of capabilities of what we want to do together. Does that make sense, Levon?
That makes perfect sense. And it's, you know, I hesitate to do this because Shubham might eventually listen to this podcast, but he truly is the man. And he has been a great addition to the team. He is intuitive. He definitely understands design style and has taken the time to really start to understand sort of the language of the design style that I use. And so that has been great. And also, you know, Krinal, Nitin, and Bimson, all those folks have been absolutely great. But let me turn to Animesh now, just to say, Animesh, Sachin got into, you know, pretty deep detail of kind of what BIM and VDC workflow looks like for PGT. Do you see any difference, you know, as the manager on the engineering side and the BIM side, any difference between how my team is working, you know, AOC's team is working with me on the architecture side and other clients that you have?
Right, Matt. Before that, I have a concern. I feel eventually all of the team are going to convert into Matt. They will become Matt because that's the level of interaction we are having with you today. But yeah, that's a good
thing. Dang right. We're not just status quo. We're leapfrogging this baby.
Darn it. We care about people. We want to get to know folks.
Right. Okay. So, you know, the basic difference between the project that we are doing with you and the way we are engaging with Matt and most of our other projects is typically we would take inputs from clients, you know, produce a model, report inconsistencies, resolve issues, and produce the BIM delivery. In the former case, the engagement is very one-sided, or it's like, you know, one way where we are receiving inputs and then we are sending something. In case of AOC, we are doing it in a very bilateral way where everything is very much live. Matt comes in and, you know, the entire team is there on a screen share call right upon a model, including both Revit and Inkscape. And, you know, decisions are made then and there. Design is being designed then and there. And, you know, the whole process of sending the input is kind of eliminated. And, you know, we are not wasting any time in terms of receiving an input, understanding it, and then translating it into a model, and then reporting back that, hey, this doesn't fit here. So we are actually designing on the fly. In fact, Matt is designing on the fly. And we also have the privilege and the flexibility to add, you know, like add any designs, add any suggestions. And since we have been working on a couple of projects already with Matt, so now we understand what's the kind of roof slope he likes, where does he want to put a window, a door, you know. So there are a lot of decisions that are actually handled by us directly, which is saving a lot of time for Matt. I think, what do you think, Matt?
Yeah, you know, Animesh, what you brought up is absolutely true. I mean, there's sort of a learning process that happens. Here's another thing that, and I hadn't thought of this just till right now, is I made a request of PGT because we had guys on there, right, on our team, and I made a request for female members on the team because, you know, my upbringing in the architectural profession, this is back in the 80s, and I was fortunate enough to work for two very, very strong, powerful, talented female architects in Denver, and it really had an amazing influence on me to realize that women architects have a different approach to architecture, which is great. And bring a lot of communalism, community, caring to the process. And so I made a request, and immediately, you know, Shreya was brought on board, and now Sona Lee. And so we're not quite completely balanced 50-50 within the studio, but their contribution, because they're not afraid to speak up, has been excellent. and as I believe has made the team stronger. So just wanted to say that and throw that out there. So Animesh, I just want to ask you a little bit about Inkscape, because I was a little you guys, I believe, were using other three-dimensional reality virtualization software, and I was pretty adamant about wanting to use Inkscape because I understand and have been educated on and now use Inkscape quite a bit, and saw the power that it had with my clients, where we could actually do design on the fly, have things change immediately. Plus, the barrier to entry for the clients was really, really low in terms of having to know a lot about the program, purchase the program, download it onto their computer. None of that existed with Inkscape. Can you talk a little bit about it from the PGT standpoint, about the use of Inkscape, what you guys have discovered, what you used before Inkscape, and then how you've really, you know, embraced Inkscape and using it in our studio?
Sure, Matt. You know, before Inkscape, we have used an N number of different things. I have used BIMX earlier from ARCHICAD. And, you know, one of the biggest things that's best about Inkscape is it's so quick. And though it is meant for rendering, it's amusing that we are actually using it for coordination. And, you know, as a professional, I'm very used to see and understand a raw 3D model, which is coming from Revit or ARCHICAD or any other, you know, software, BIM editing software. However, the end customer, your clients, are not very used to this kind of model. They really appreciate when they see a finished product directly, and that gives them a sense, a lot better understanding of how the look and feel of the entire structure, the entire building. And that's how Inkscape is scoring above other softwares, where we are actually directly, you know, designing on top of an Inkscape model, and Matt is actually guiding, hey, that looks fine. And, you know, and plus that, we are able to do walkthroughs, I mean, inside the building, which is probably not very, you know, good looking in other softwares. And that also matters a lot, because I mean, if you can finalize a structure both externally and internally while simultaneously looking at the, you know, the realistic view, the rendered view of that model, that brings in a lot of clarity. So I guess that's where Inkscape has been amazing in terms of its usage, in terms of exporting time required for Revit to Inkscape, and also in terms of, since it is a browser-based plugin, we can simply send a link and anybody can click it and navigate through the model.
It's so fun to hear us get into the tools and talk about how Matt was pretty bullish about using Inkscape, but he didn't just make up, you got to use Inkscape, right? Shout out to the platform of Digital Built Week, where we were the official media partner, and I got the pleasure of meeting so many of these influencers. And as I went around Digital Built Week, it was like Inkscape, 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 right? And these were different authentic testimonials as we're going around the different platforms. So show 157, where we titled How a Video Game Became Architect's Most Powerful New Tool. That is so cool to hear someone from outside the AEC silos bringing in something that just leapfrogged the status quo, when I hear about all these different tools, to where now the one is leading with Inkscape, and now Art of Construction is in the tribe is using that tool. So I'm always talking about breaking down the silos, and Sasheen, we've been talking about that on this whole show, but I want to make sure we bring that full circle and just hit it one more time. That the biggest thing that stops construction from improving is that the different parts of our industry don't know how to talk to each other, right? So if we look ourselves in the mirror and say, construction is messy and construction can be hard, right? But if we get through those barriers so that the silos are not created from bad communication. So since you work with clients from different parts of the industries, let's remove from Matt's team for just a minute. I know it's the top of the charts, but how do you ensure clear and concise communication between your teams and your clients from this global view? I just want to hit that one more time.
It's a very interesting point you make, Devon. I think The challenge, if you really see, and this exists globally from what I've seen, is we all know concepts of BIM and VDC, and we have studied that numerous times. But when you try to apply those to real-life project execution, I think two things create majority of the problem. One is communication, and secondly is a clearly defined objective that connects all the different stakeholders of the project. I think that is missing, you know, most places we do business with, you know, be it Europe, of course, the United States, a little bit in the Middle East as well. And I think what we've tried to do at PanGulf is again, to try to keep it very simple. You know, while AIA defines very extensively what the different level of developments and the LODs stand for, but what we've really tried to do is not just go by what is mandated and really break that down into simple templates, into simple scope gathering sheets. When somebody says that they would require us to produce a model to a certain level of detail, it's not just about saying, yes, we would do it, but it's also trying to understand why is it that level of detail? What is the objective of accomplishing that level of detail? What is the end objective to produce that level of model for our clients? And when we try to do that, what we realize is most of the times, client doesn't necessarily need a generic level of detail or a generic basis of model from start to the end of the project. That keeps on changing depending upon what phase or what stage of the project that you're in. And I think the very fact that we are aware about this solves a lot of problems, because then we are able to define that into scope gathering sheets. That is what we call them internally. And we've had a lot of clients who, you know, who come up to us and say, well, you know, all this sounds good. We are right to work with you, but we really don't know how to get started. We really don't know what you would need. We really don't know what level of information and communication would be required from our side. And I think our response to that is very standard set of templates that will help us, the two technical teams from our side and our client side, be able to be on the same page in terms of defining what we are going to do and what we are not going to do. And I think that is also very important. What we have also done now, of course, more than 90% of our projects today are on a BIM 360 environment. That brings in a certain added level of efficiency in terms of communication and collaboration. But even when we work with certain general contractors who are still not on a BIM 360 environment, we have even developed a very customized RFI template that can, in essence, work as a mini project management tool and help you defining those critical points, which would help us understand which is that level of detail that we need to produce and why we need to produce that. You know, in addition to that, a clearly available and a concise RFI template really helps us from managing the pre-construction coordination processes when we are working with when we were working with contractors. One of the other things that we have done is we always ensure that there is a certain amount of finite overlap between our customer timings and our timings. So in essence, we're really a round-the-clock studio wherein we would have teams that are working on specific projects stagger their work times in a bit, which allows a certain level of interface, a certain opportunity to actually coordinate, pick up the phone and talk to our clients, and again, brings in a certain level of efficiency in the process.
So Sheen brought up some really important points, and I think we kind of danced around this a little bit, and I want to, once again, to use Devin's phrase, I want to just hit this head on. Is I think when people think of offshore firms, and I'll use a term called CAD jockey, right? Where people just go, hey, you know what? This is just sort of a, you know, you send your stuff off and you've got a bunch of people sitting at computers and they're just kind of, you know, literally just doing rote kind of stuff where they're just kind of cranking out the drawings and there's really not much interaction. I think Sasheen blew that up a little bit, talking about the communication and the level of interface between the firms, not only from project scope, but also from just physical time. I think there's 12 and a half hours difference between Colorado and India. And that has never been an issue that I've experienced so far in our studio work together. We either, I'm getting up early in the morning and we're talking, or we're talking into the evening like we are right now with Sasheen and Animesh. So, Animesh, I want to throw this to you here for a second and just say, can you talk a little bit about, and we've touched on this before, but how PGT really strives to be a true extension of the architecture studio, and how can this type of offshore dynamic, where instead of just reaching within your own country, you're actually reaching around the world, how that kind of broadening of the scope of talent benefits the AEC industry as a whole?
Sure, Matt. You know, I think it starts with selecting the right individuals. Personally, I'm very selective about, you know, the right type of people with the right type of attitude. You know, you can never compensate for a lack of passion for architecture, for construction. You know, so we just find people who already have that passion, and then we ignite it further. You know, so automatically they fall in love being a part of your team, being the part of each and every client's team. They get involved, they take ownership, and automatically they perform better. So that's the starting point, you know. And I think in order to strive to be the perfect extension, what we really try to do is, the end goal is to give our clients a stress-free project execution experience. And that's what we are trying to do with you as well, you know. So I just believe, you know, if we can make the whole stress go out of this pre-design and pre-construction process, you know, that's where people and our clients can perform a lot better. They can focus on what is important. They won't be bogged by multiple issues. And, you know, they can make an amazing design. So that's where we excel.
Stress-free construction project? I like the sounds of that. So, Sachin, for the Art of Construction Tribe, who spans all sectors in the AEC industry, tell us a little bit more about other service that PGT offers that we may, you know, have not discussed, or other parts of your portfolio.
Sure, Deepak. You know, besides the architecture and the interior design work that we are doing with Matt, we also have a separate team that does a lot of work with the engineering consulting companies on the structural side, on the MEP side. Again, a separate team that work especially with the subs, with the trained contractors, be it on the mechanical side for the sheet metal, ducting, piping, on the electrical side, on the plumbing works as well. And essentially, these are teams who can take all the construction information that they would receive from the general contractors and then develop the models, work in a BIM or a VDC environment, all through to producing your shop drawings, spools, your ductwork fabrication drawings, and what have you. The other part of business also does a lot of work with general contractors, where we're actually working with them, helping them as a part of the pre-construction coordination processes, conducting a lot of BIM audits for them, which helps them to decide how much time and energy they need to invest in validating the input Revit files that they receive from the architects or the other consultants, and then deciding whether they would want to develop those for running their coordinations and producing the shop drawings, or then they just want to develop some of their own. One of the older business units that we have within Pangulf is also a structural steel team. This is a team that is great on Tekla and essentially works a lot with structural steel fabricators, producing a lot of connection designs and doing all the structural steel detailing and the fabrication drawings. In addition to this, we also have a precast division that does a lot of work with precasters, again, working in a BIM or in an AutoCAD environment and helping them during the different design and the detailing all the way through to erection and shop drawings for a lot of precast elements and a lot of rebar fabricators and erectors. Only in the last couple of years, we've also started a business unit that works on industrial projects. So this is one activity that we're doing essentially for a lot of chemicals, oil and gas industry, where we have a multidisciplinary team that can perform complete engineering activities, again, working as an offshore engineering partner for some of the larger firms focused on the oil and gas and the chemicals. This is really, in a nutshell, what we do.
Awesome. Well, thanks for showcasing. And in closing, I want us to stop and ask the question to yourself as we close this thing out, when Matt says the key comment, I've never had a project go perfect, but maybe yours is the one. What makes a perfect construction project? And so that's why we're always learning. And that's what I love about Matt and now getting to meet his team members, to where we all have the eye of the tiger and we're all learning. So if you want to be part of the Art of Construction tribe, you're always be learning and you always have the eye of the tiger, right? So Animesh, in closing, what is your crystal ball for connecting technology to handshakes in the future of the Art of Construction? And I love how Sachin said in the Art of Construction tribe in India.
I think it's very simple. It's simplification. You know, buildings can only become more complex as we go forward. Designing and building this building, however, will and should get simpler utilizing great technology. So, you know, we don't really bother how the apps in smartphones do what they do, you know, how they provide a seamless interface. Probably pre-construction and construction will follow on similar lines, where managing them, designing them should get and would get simpler and more stress-free as we use, you know, great technology to our aid. And I think that's the crystal ball for me.
Awesome. Animesh, thank you so much for coming in and telling us your story. And to close this out, Sachin, the one question I've asked on every leader that comes in from the Art of Construction tribe, what is that one thing you want to leave contractors and affiliates to go think about, to go out and crush it and grow their business?
I think, Devon, from my perspective, it would be embrace BIM and virtual design construction as an internal process, and not look at it as a task to be performed need-based and only if it is mandated on projects.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be leading the tribe and having these great influencers like you guys come in and talking about how we're taking our local projects tied together to our global megaphone. Thank you so much, guys, for coming in. We're big fans and can't wait to see where we go together on this journey with PGT and AOC, huh?
Well, thank you very much, Devon. Thank you, Matt. Thank you for having us here, and a pleasure.
Awesome.
Thanks, Devon. Thanks, Matt. And thanks to the team. You know, because of them, we are here, and we are privileged for that. Thank you so much.
Matt, how fun is it to come and talk about the story from the vision quest that we've been going on? We really actually call, we have a biweekly meeting that we call the vision quest that we built, and we built that board a year ago, to now just 365 short days from when we said, let's go out and do this. Now we're talking about all these projects, and they're talking about, as a big global firm, saying the future of AEC is teams like Matt's. Pretty cool to hear that, huh?
Yeah, I think it's great, man. And I was just reflecting as both of these guys are talking, Sachin and Animesh, is I think this is in over 200 plus episodes. I think this is the first time that guys have actually been qualified to give us the crystal ball read, because, you know, India is 12 and a half hours ahead of us, right? So, I mean, these guys already went through our day. So if there's anybody who's looking to the future, it's these guys. And I think the most important thing I heard, Animesh used the word passion, right? And that's what it's all about. You and I are both passionate about the Art of Construction. We're passionate about the AEC industry. And he's talking about passion, you know, half a world away, of bringing team members who have that same passion, that same eye of the tiger that the AOC members and AOC tribe has. To me, it touched me in my heart.
Awesome. Well, what an honor to be doing this. I can't wait. You know, great platforms that we've collaborated with, where we're taking tools like Enscape, and we're using them day in, day out, but it's all from the collaborations with great platforms like Digital Built Week. And it all goes back to, it all started with my little window and door company, where they come in and meet with us and, you know, have those handshakes that turn into that crystal ball. So I think we're really, when you talk about beginning with the end in mind, every chapter of the book has different stories that come out of that. And as we embark in 2021 to say, the world has had to change because of this crazy COVID, but I think everything happens for a reason. And as Matthew McConaughey says in his recent book, boy, we're in a force window with a lot of red lights, but boy, I see green lights all over the place when it comes to AOC and DGT, huh, Matt?
Absolutely. Looking forward to continue to grow the relationship with these guys.
All right. I'm proud of you. Great job putting this together, my man.